Hi, and welcome to the Owlemore Amplified, our school podcast.
My name is Erin, and I'm head girl this year.
And my name is Eric, I'm head boy of this year.
It will be our job to present the podcast.
We can't wait!
Welcome to a Owlemore Amplified podcast.
Today we got a very special guest, the amazing author Paul Leyshon, producer-director of the Welsh Children's TV and producer-director of the UK History Programmes, who has also written Johnny Jones and The Ghost Train.
Year 5-6 class have been reading it in class, and we can't wait to find out how he came up with the story.
Welcome, Paul Leyshon.
Christ saw, thank you.
Firstly, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Right, okay. Well, I'm from Swansea, a place called Gosynan. And for the past 20 years, I started off as a sports journalist, which meant I was writing stories for newspapers and for Teletext, something you don't remember. Then I became a television director. So I make lots of programmes around the world, like A Place in the Sun, Location, 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 all sorts of stuff like that, and lots of children's programmes. And in the last 2 years, I've started writing middle grade books, we call them, so books for children.
Did you enjoy reading or writing when you were our age?
I did. So when I was your age, I won the quiz cover at a Welsh book quiz. So when I was 10, 11, we had to read lots of books. We won the prize, and we all got to go to Amsterdam as part of the prize, and we met an author there. So I think I think over the years I probably wanted to write a book, but when I got to the age I am now, I thought, oh, do you know what? I quite fancy going back to it and writing a book.
Very cool. What was your favourite book as a child?
What was my favourite book as a child? Well, in the quiz cover, we read a book called Kai Jones and Esgyrn and the Diavol. So that was a cool book, Kai Jones and the Devil's Bones. And I've just spoken to one of the classes here, and I talked about inspiration. Well, I stole a name from that book. I named one of my characters Kai Jones. So that was one of my favourite books. But I just enjoyed any books that involved sneaking out after midnight, like The Midnight Fox or Tom's Midnight Garden and things like that. So anything that involved children sneaking out into an adult world after midnight.
What inspired you to write Johnny Jones and the Ghost Train?
So I made lots of history programmes in my career. So I always found myself walking around Welsh castles and old Welsh buildings. And when I read up on all these buildings, they all seemed to have a ghost story. So I thought, right, I want to tell a ghost story, but I like time travel as well. So I thought, right, what's not been done? So witches and warlocks have been done a lot. Ghosts have been done a lot, but not time-travelling ghosts. So I thought, what if we have a story where a group of children find a ghost train, a train that has no right to be in there. They jump on the train and it takes them to a ghost version of the past.
Ooh, that sounded really cool, to be honest.
For anyone who hasn't read it yet, can you tell us a little bit more about what the story is about without giving away too much?
Okay, so the main character is Johnny Jones, and we find out that his brother went missing on Halloween a year previously, so lots of spooky things happen on Halloween. And they start hearing the sound of a train, and they find out that trains got pulled up on this track about 60 years ago, and there's no trains there anymore. So this path in the woods turns out to be an old old train track. And one night, they jump on the train, and the train takes them to a parallel version of the past where all of the ghosts of the past live. And somehow, he has to find his brother in that world and rescue his brother and somehow, hopefully, return home.
How long did it take you to write Johnny Jones and the Ghost Train?
So I wrote it during lockdown. Do you remember lockdown?
Yes.
So I cheated really. Like lockdown, I had to stay at home. So I thought, why not write a book? There's nothing else I can do. So it probably took me initially about, oh, I don't know, about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But if you added up all the time where you have to edit it and reread it, and then you have to get a professional person to look at it and build a cover, if you squished all that time together, I think it's probably about 6 months.
Wow, that is a long time. If Johnny Jones and the Ghost Train was made into a film, who would you want to play Johnny?
Oh, that's a good question. But they'd have to be 11, wouldn't they? Oh, I'm not sure. That is a tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they'd have to be somebody Welsh, I think. I'd have to find a good Welsh character.
Are you interested, Eric?
Yes, I'm really interested.
Do you act?
No. I know some actors that are pretty young to this day.
Well, there's a lot of good actors from this area historically, so you're in a good place if you want to start acting.
Okay.
Now, the next question. Do you have a special place where you like to write?
Ooh, that's a good question. I just like writing in my living room because I've got lots of birds in my garden and I've got cameras in bird boxes. And sometimes I just write and I've got the inside of the bird boxes up on the telly. And I quite, because that's a story as well. That's a narrative. You can watch, you know, a bird building a nest, then having the chicks, and all sorts of dramatic things happen. So it takes my attention sometimes. But yeah, I like writing in my living room, looking out on the garden. But I also like maybe going to the beach or a coffee shop and just having, that's where I do my thinking rather than writing. So that's where I come up with ideas.
What's your best advice for children who want to write their own stories?
Right. Well, I think you can get inspiration from where you live. Because I think, particularly with fantasy stories, you live in one of the best places in the world. Because we've got, what have you got in fantasy stories? You've got castles. We've got the most castles per square mile in the world. So that means if you go for a walk in Wales, you're more likely to see a castle than anywhere else. I think we've got this amazing seascape and landscape. So, you know, you can start your story in Aberavon Beach, you start your story, spooky story in Margam Castle. So I think in terms of inspiration, and you know, we've got this amazing culture, a mythical culture of dragons and things like that. So I think you live in one of the best places in the world to come up with a fantasy story. So I think just draw inspiration from what we have around us.
I feel like that is a amazing advice for children who want to write their own stories.
Thank you.
I think so too. But now we have a quick fire round, so please answer as quickly as possible. Are you ready?
I'm nervous, but yeah, I'm ready.
Pen or pencil?
Pen.
Reading or writing?
Reading.
Ghosts or aliens?
Ghosts.
Chocolate or crisps?
Crisps.
Morning writing or night writing?
Morning.
Funny stories or scary stories?
Scary.
Train or plane?
Train.
Well done. Now no more quick questions. What are you working on next? Can you give us a sneak peek?
Ooh, I am working on Johnny Jones 2, which is called Johnny Jones and the Ghosts of Gower. Because when I launched my book last year, my old history teacher came to the launch and he said, well, Paul, your book's very good, but they go on a train and they go off to all these places in England historically, so you need to bring some Welsh history in. So Johnny Jones 2, it's called Johnny Jones and the Ghosts of Gower, so it's going to have Roman ghosts in Caerleon, and then in the Gower, I'm going to tap into a ghost that lives in Oystermouth Castle. I'm going to tap into Gracha Rebin, which is a ghost that haunts Penad Castle. And then there's lots of ghosts that supposedly haunt Rasilli Bay. So I'm going to get a lot of Swansea ghost history into that book.
I'm excited to read it.
When is it out, Paul?
Ooh, it's out hopefully end of November, start of December. So I'll have to let you know.
Should we ask Paul back in?
Yes.
So we can read some of his new story?
Yeah. Oh, maybe I'd love to do that.
And finally, what message would you like to share with all the children listening today?
I'd just like to keep reading, because reading is brilliant, because it just throws you into a totally different world. where you can just explore different worlds and, you know, you can escape all this technology that we have today. And if you're not that confident at reading, we tell stories through loads of different things. So if you're good at drawing, you can tell stories through drawing. If you play a musical instrument, we tell stories through music. We tell stories through dance. So you can find your, if you're not confident in one thing, you can find your particular path and your way of telling stories.
Thank you so much, Paul Leishan, for joining us today.
We loved hearing all about your book and how you write your stories.
If you haven't read Johnny Jones and the Ghost Train yet, you definitely should. We got copies in the school. Just ask.
Thanks for listening to Owlmore Amplifies.
See you next time.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and this is Owlmore Amplifies.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
This is our getting to know you section. In this episode, we have Miss Hill. Welcome, Miss.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
What type of student were you?
I was a great student. I was in the top form, as you might have guessed. I was really good at English and very creative.
Have you any hidden talents we don't know about?
I don't think I've got any hidden talents that you don't know about. So you know that I'm learning to play the saxophone. You know that I'm learning to speak Welsh, which I am really enjoying. But I can read multiple books at the same time without losing focus on the story. So to give you just a quick example, the school novel, I'm in the middle of reading Johnny Jones and the Ghost Train. And then at home, I was reading The Godfather, given to me by our very own Mr. Winter. And I was also reading alongside a new book that I'd picked up called The Trees. So three books, on the go, one time, don't lose my place. Talent.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. What is your typical Saturday night?
My typical Saturday night, if I haven't got one of the grandchildren sleeping over, is nice meal with my husband and then maybe a movie on Netflix. Sometimes we go out, sometimes we stay in. It's always food and a movie.
Yeah. What pets have you had or like to own?
So I've had everything from spiders. Salmon pink bird-eating spider was the biggest spider we had. We had the male version, which was probably the size of one of the bowls in school. If we had had the female version, it would have grown up to the size of a dinner plate. It was fascinating watching them eat mice. We've owned snakes, and I have had two awesome dogs. One was a Rottweiler called Beulah, and the other one then was a little ginger and white mongrel called Sox.
I'm terrified of those spiders you've said.
So was my husband. I remember when we had them, even though they had lids on the tanks, he wrapped a leather belt around them to make sure that the spiders really couldn't escape. When we had to clean the enclosure out of the bird-eating spider, we had to literally put a pint glass down over it and then weigh that glass down with a brick to be able to clean all the webbing of his webs out, to clean his enclosure out. So, yeah.
I wouldn't sleep with that in my house.
Where is your dream location?
Dream location for me is sitting in a comfy armchair at the highest point of a highest tree in a treehouse, with a good cup of coffee and a good book.
What are your Trapped on a Desert Island films or books?
This is where I'm struggling because I have lists. I have lists and lists and lists. So three authors I will choose, not books. So Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, Terry Pratchett, my all-time favourite author, so I would have to take the complete Discworld series with me. And I would also probably take Philip Pullman with his Dark Materials, but I would have to have all the prequels of Lyra's Oxford and her backstory first as well. Films, I think I'm done with my books, thanks.
Read too many books to choose, is it?
There is never too many books to read, I'm sorry. Never ever.
What would be your last meal?
This I thought about. Because I thought, do I want to cook it? Do I want my husband to cook it? And then I decided my last meal would probably be the platter for two at the Our restaurant in Swansea.
Oh.
What's included in that platter, miss?
Now then, it is a Persian cuisine. It is cooked on an open grill in front of you. Oh, my mouth is salivating at the thought of it. So you've got chicken, you've got lamb, you've got flat chicken with crispy skin, you've got chicken cubes, you've got little bits of kebab meat, you've got, oh, there's just everything on it. It's amazing food.
I need to try that.
It's in Swansea, it's where Baron's Light nightclub used to be. So it's, you know, on the corner over there, just around the corner from the dessert place with Casper's. It's around the corner from Casper's. It's delicious. Try it.
What dish can you cook to perfection?
Chocolate fudge cake. I think I'm famous for it in this school.
Agreed.
And I do chocolate flavour or mint chocolate flavour, which tastes a bit like after 8 months, or orange chocolate flavour. Yes, made to perfection.
Have you two had some of that?
I think I have.
You did.
I didn't.
Ooh, you missed out, Eric. So far.
I got to try the orange. Yes. I like it. Yes. I might like it. If you won the lottery, what would be your first purchase?
Again, this was something you have to really think about. I'd like to say my own library, but I wouldn't. It would be a complete family holiday to Disneyland with myself, my husband, my children, my grandchildren, stay in the swankiest hotel, you know, with a private meeting with Mickey and Minnie. And yeah, spend a week in Disneyland.
That sounds amazing.
I'm a good granny, and I.
Yeah.
I would do that if I had my first lottery purchase.
Is there a quote or saying you live your life by?
A good friend of ours once said to me, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And I do like that. I try to be nice to everybody I meet, and I try to encourage everybody to be nice in my classroom and also around the school. So, yeah, I think that's my saying.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for episode one. A huge shout out for the band One Time Alive for the podcast intro. Thanks for listening.